Alright, good afternoon, everyone. We are actually concluding our series called Behind the Scene. And we have been talking about the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. If you're here with us last week, we've talked about, we don't normally talk about this, but last week we've talked about the demon. Okay, we've talked about the demon-possessed woman. Anyone who is familiar with that one? That's where, you know, the python came in. The demon-possessed woman, it talked about Paul's ministry. Okay, he delivered and liberated that demon-possessed woman from a spirit of divination or a spirit of python, okay? So as we conclude our series here this afternoon, we're going to look at the last installment, and this is quite interesting because if you remember, we started this off by talking about Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We said, what does Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says? It says there, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That is basically what we have been talking about. We said that the word power here comes from the Greek word dunamis, okay? Dunamis, which where we get the word dynamite. And we started qualifying the usage of dynamite, okay? In the physical world, we would use dynamite, especially in the olden times. Dynamite is actually useful. It's not just utilized for dynamite fishing and stuff like that. In the olden times, for people to pave road, they would blow up mountains, okay, or mountainsides using dynamite, okay, to pave the way for the construction of roads. Now, here's the thing: as much as dynamite has its own, you know, good benefits, I want you to understand this: God has given us His power at our disposal, and it's actually a good thing. How many of you can find comfort in the fact that God has given you His power? Okay, His dunamis power. But here's the thing. At the same breath, I want us to understand, just like, you know, what Spider-Man would keep saying, with great power comes great responsibility. All right? I want us to understand, because God has given us power and authority, there is a proper usage for it. Okay? Because, meaning to say, if you have power and you work on it in such a way wherein you neglect some important things along the way, then disaster might happen. Just look at this one. In March 1913, okay, March 1913, in a place called Alumchina right here, okay, this is what happened in that place. Okay, there was a 340 tons of dynamite that were being transported from one barge to another. The problem was because of neglect, because the foreman, because of his negligence, there was something that happened that instantaneously all 340 tons of dynamite exploded. And can you just imagine the disaster? In fact, everything, you know, the explosion was felt in a 1,400 meter radius. Can you imagine that? It was so strong, okay, it was so strong that a lot of people were affected by it. All because there was negligence. Here's what we're going to look at here this morning. We're going to talk about, you know, itong story na to, okay, if you ask me personally, whenever I read this, to some degree, it's like a horror comedy to me, all right? There's a group of people who tried invoking the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, but to some degree, they don't know how to basically utilize it, and it ended up backlashing on them. All right, folks, ready for this one? Now look at this one. Turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 19. Okay, we're going to read from verse 11 down to verse 20. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Verse 14. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. And fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord was extolled. Also, many of those who are now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevailed mightily. All right. It would be beneficial for you to get into a certain story in the Bible. And for you to understand a certain story, it would be best for us to understand the context of a certain story. Meaning to say, whenever you encounter a certain scripture, one of the practices that I do is that if I don't get to understand it, is that I try to read 10 verses up and 10 verses down. That way, I get to have the pictures to what's happening. So the context of this story, okay, we're starting off with verse 11, but the context of the story is basically found in verse 1 of chapter 19. Here's what it says. Look at this one. Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. All right? So it gives us a picture that the setting of this place is in a city called Ephesus. Okay? It is a city called Ephesus. Now, I have here a picture of the modern-day Ephesus. Now, this place is quite interesting. I haven't been here. I'm praying that one of these days I might go there. The interesting thing about this city right now is that half of the ancient Ephesus is already submerged in water. Okay? Half of it is already submerged in water. And of course, in our naked eye right now, that's all that we see. But during their time, Ephesus was a major city. Okay, it's a lot bigger than Dumaguete or something like that. It was just a very, very busy city. Can you just picture it? Okay? May mga neon lights siguro yan. Maraming ganun dyan. Okay, sobrang busy ng place na yan. Now, if there's one thing that distinguishes Ephesus from other cities, is the, before I go there, for example, look at this one. Dumaguete City. Mami, you're not from Dumaguete. You're not from Dumaguete City. Okay, mami, can I say that this is such a beautiful city? It is a beautiful city, right? The moment you came here, what would people say? People would say, this city is a city of gentle people. True enough, you know, I've met so many Dumaguetenos. To some degree, yung pinakamasamang tao sa Dumaguete. Okay, walang, mabait pa rin sila. In Dumaguete, you go to a certain corner, you ask for directions, they will give you the right directions. You go to other cities, you ask for directions, they'll make fun of you. Right? So the thing with Dumaguete is that it's just a beautiful city. We have, you know, this city has landed in Forbes magazine as one of the top cities to retire in the whole wide world. Can you imagine that? The only city in the Philippines that made that list. All right? Not to mention, of course, this is not just a city of gentle people. This is a city of good-looking men and women. Looking at Ephesus now, what is in Ephesus that makes it distinct from other cities? Okay, you want to know why? What? Ephesus is known as a place of witchcraft. Okay, it was a place known for witchcraft. In fact, the amazing thing is that this place is not just like Quiapo. It's not like Quiapo wherein you have, or it's not like a certain vicinity wherein people would just sell gayuma, alay mga love potion, ugat ng balete, nilagay ng baby oil, hinalo-alo, bineta siya ng 100, naniwala ka naman. Painumin mo yan dun sa crush mo. Paano inumin yan? Paano isinuminom ng balat na, ugat ng balete? But anyway, it's not just contained with potions or stuff like that. There were so many mixed up demonic activity that's happening in this place. I mean, just crazy. They have people in Ephesus during that time, okay, they would do black arts, not just that, they would worship demons. In fact, it is in Ephesus where you would find the temple of Artemis. Okay, there's just so many temples. Here's what they're going to do. They're going to bring their kid. They're going to offer it to this god right here. Oops, it doesn't work. I want to bring it to this god right here. Medusa has a temple here. You know Medusa? The girl with snakes on her head. She has her temple right there. Artemis has a temple here. Imagine the city of Ephesus. Not just that. They're also known for magicians and witches. Okay, last night while I was working on this one, I was searching about witches. Hindi ko na tinapos kasi yung mga mukha ng witches, parang biglang humangin. Sabi ko, tulog na ako, bukas na to. There's just so many superstitions, you know, going around in this place. If last week we've talked about horoscope and stuff like that, these guys are deep in demonic activity. They're just deep in demonic activity. When I was younger, I don't know if I included this last week, but when I was in high school, I saw this black magic book. Okay, I saw this black magic book. It was hardbound. It was tried skimming through. I have no choice because it's my ate's book. So I was looking at it, and I was like thinking, no wonder my ate has a very chaotic life because this is what she reads. So, ginudge ko na siya, of course. I was like reading it. I was like, man, it's just a demonic book for that matter. And true enough, my sister lived a very chaotic life growing up. In fact, right now, I don't know where my ate is. So, but once in a while, magte-text na yung Archie, kumusta ka na? Pag-reply ko, hindi na nag-reply. But anyway, she's not in the Philippines now. But that gives us a picture that whenever there's a prevailing or rampant demonic activity in a certain city, that gives you a spiritual climate. That gives you a gauge as to how you would know the spiritual climate of that place. So meaning to say, if that is the activity in that place, it would be safe to say that this city is basically deep in immorality. Are you folks catching this? You know, sin was just running rampant in those places. And it's just normal for people to do all of those things. So that was the city of Ephesus. Now look at this one. Here's what happened. What we're going to do here this afternoon, this is very simple. We're going to look at the first two verses quickly. Then after which, we're going to camp on the next three verses after that. Verse 13, 14, and 15. We'll start with verse 11 and 12 for a while. Let me read verse 11. It says here, "And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul." And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. Allow me to explain this for a while. Look at this one. When Paul came into Ephesus, when he went into Ephesus, the Bible says, he stayed there for 2 years. He stayed in Ephesus for 2 years. The moment he got there, He landed a job, and he became a what? He became a tent maker. Okay? Siya po yung tagagawa ng mga tent. Alam mo yung mga tent na pang-camping yun, yung Columbia, yung mga North Face. Yung trabaho ni Paul noon yun. So here's what he was doing. He was a tent maker in the morning. Okay? He gave his best in his job. And in the afternoon, from 12 in the afternoon up until 4 in the afternoon, it was the Ephesus Ephesian people, it was like their siesta time. So because it's their siesta time, they would gather themselves in one place. In the afternoon, between those time frame, Paul would go into the halls of Tyrannus. It's a place where there's like so many people there, and that's where he preaches the gospel. Okay? Meaning to say, man, this place has just so many things going around, but every single day, can I ever say every day? Every day from 12 to 4, religiously, consistently, he would go into the halls of Tyrannus, and guess what? He would reason with people. He would talk to that person. He would reason to them, and guess what? After which, he's going to preach the gospel to them. Okay? Now, he would preach the gospel to them, and as a result, okay, I said 2 years, every day, consistently. Now, look at this one. As a result of doing that every day, in the turf of the devil called Ephesus, in a place where there's so much demonic activity, you know what happened after those years? Here's what happened. Look at this one. Verse 10, it says here, all of Asia heard the gospel. Take note, we're talking about a place wherein demonic activity abounds. All Paul did was that he would go from one person to another, preach the gospel to a person, befriend someone. "Hi, my name is Paul. Can I treat you to Jollibee? Can I just talk to you?" Something like that. He would just talk to people, then after he would preach the gospel to them. After those stints, the Bible says, all of Asia heard the gospel. Of course, it doesn't say that all people receive and surrender their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, but nonetheless, he preached to so many people. People would come to Ephesus, Ephesians people, he would just preach to them. What is my point here? I want us to understand that Paul busied himself in becoming a gospel preacher and not a ghostbuster. You folks catch that? He busied himself. What is my point here? We have a natural tendency, okay, to be so consumed with the mystical. We have a natural tendency to gravitate towards understanding demonic realms, the demonic realms, understanding demonic names, and all of those things. Paul didn't concern himself with this one. He concerned himself with preaching the gospel. Whatever, wherever Paul steps foot on, whatever city that may be, he would do one thing and he would preach the gospel. My point here is this one. Paul would just basically want us to understand that we have to keep the main thing as the main thing, and the main thing is to go out there and make disciples of all nations. If you read your Bible, if you read the book of Acts, you would come to understand that every experiences that the disciples have towards demons and demon-possessed people, you would come to understand that they never looked for those people. They just encountered them in the course of preaching the gospel. In the course of preaching the gospel, you would encounter people. We had people. There was a time we would minister to some people. While ministering to them, tumutuloy yung laway nila kasi pinipreach namin yung gospel. Parang, bro, parang iba yung nagiging itsura mo, bro. Parang nag-iiba na yung mata. So pag nangyari na yun, tatayo kami. Tapos tawagan Miss Pastor Donnie, Hugh Tony. Ikwan dito. Nakakatakot yung tsura. In the course of preaching the gospel, you would encounter these things. Why? Because they would manifest. Guess what, friends? Hindi ko alam yung kwento ko. But just last week, you know, when I was preaching, after preaching, encountered some, you know, things that aren't normal for that matter. All we have to do is invoke the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It just basically happens. You don't have to look for it. So my point here is this one. Do not busy yourselves in understanding the demonic realm. Busy yourselves in preaching the gospel. That's basically what Paul did. In verse 12, it says here, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that attached his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Can you imagine that? Handkerchiefs, I'm talking about the handkerchiefs, saka aprons ni Paul. Buti na lang walang medyas yan, ano? Mamaya po, dito po yung handkerchief. 5 piso po bawat pahid. Joke lang. You know why there's a lot of Christian cults in the world? There are a lot of Christian cults in the world because they misinterpreted this verse. They would look at it and they would feel like, okay, there it is. There's the handkerchief. There's something magical about the handkerchief. There's nothing magical about the handkerchief or apron. Hindi po yan carpet ni Aladdin. There's nothing magical with that. You don't extract. That's why I'm telling you, you need to understand the verse. You need to understand the context. You know what this verse is talking about? This verse is one of the perfect verse that describes this. Too often, like what I said last week, too often, we gravitate ourselves into what? Praising on what is what? We gravitate towards praising what is sin, whereas we don't understand it is that which is not sin that makes what is sin praiseworthy. So meaning at the end of the day, what God is teaching us in this verse is that it is basically the manifest presence and power of the Holy Spirit extending in the life of Paul. Paul himself, if we would be living in our generation right now, he himself would be the first person who would tell us, it's not about my handkerchief. It's not about my apron. Hindi ko alam ba't may apron siya. Ba't nga ba may apron sila? Siguro chemist si Paul. It's not about his stuff. Another thing, if you would understand, this verse also what? This is one of those verses that affirms Paul's apostleship. Because even during this time, if you remember, Paul was a persecutor of Christians. It was also during this time where God was telling people, hey, this man right here is an apostle. He was giving him the seal of apostleship, an affirmation for that matter. So meaning to say, next time someone would sell you handkerchief, you have to get this handkerchief, put it in your door frame, wipe it in your forehead. Please don't buy any of those stuff. Okay? Because if you subscribe to that, it's just like you are supporting or investing the proliferation of evil activities. Evil spirits came out of them. Now, here's what we're going to look at right now in verse 30 and 14. It says here, now this is funny. Alam mo, pagbarkada ko yung mga yung seven sons of Sceva na yan. Grabe, siguro hanggang ngayon tutuksuin ko yung mga yan. Look at this one. Verse 13, some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. The seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. Let's try to understand this now. Let's go to verse 14. It says here, seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. So here's what happened. There's a guy by the name of Sceva. Okay, that's his name. And the Bible says in verse 14, he was a Jewish high priest. He was a Jewish high priest. Now, I want you to catch this. Scholars would say that Sceva is actually not a Jewish high priest. No record in Jewish history would begin to give us that there is such a high priest like Sceva. It could only mean any of these two things. It's either that, number one, it's either that he is coming from a lineage of priests, but he himself is not a high priest. If I was touching this. Or the other thing could be, guess what? This is Ephesus. Casting out demons, magics, and all of these things is basically big business here. So it could be this man right here is an imposter. He is an imposter. He would tell people, hey, I am a Jewish high priest. And these are my seven sons. Here's what we're going to do. You have to do what we're asking you to do. And after which, they're going to collect money from people. Are you folks catching this? So this man right here is not a real Jewish high priest. It's something like this. You know, a quack is a person who pretends professionally or publicly to have skill, knowledge, or qualifications in medical skill. But the thing is that in our world right now, we don't call them quack. We call them what? We added titles to them. We call them quack doctors. They're not even doctors. So what we would do for people to be more attracted to them, they don't just call themselves quack, they call themselves quack doctor. Kasi pag tinawag mong quack yan, iba lang yan. Makaisipin natin, duck yan. So they call themselves quack doctors. So they're not even doctors, they're not professional in doing that, but people would subscribe to their services. It's the same thing with Sceva. He would skim around, he would go around Ephesus and tell people that he is a Jewish high priest. Now, if you are a Jewish high priest, people would respect you. Guess what? If you are a Jewish high priest, people cannot say no to you. So if he says, I want this done, it gets done. If he said, I'm going to endorse to you my seven sons, the truth is those were not his sons. They're just skimming around for that matter. And the fact here is this one. In verse 13, it says here, then some of the itinerant, the Bible says, this Jewish exorcist, the sons of Sceva, they were itinerant. What do you mean by itinerant? Itinerant simply means they travel from one place to another. They're transients. They're not from Dumaguete. They just came to Dumaguete. Tomorrow they'll be in Bohol. Next day they'll be in Iloilo. It's something like that. So these guys are itinerant. Why are they itinerant? It's because they're doing their businesses. As exorcists, for that matter. They would go from one place to another. And what they would do was that they would what? They would cast out demons. There's a place in which, in Mexico, it's called the Witchcraft Market, and I got a lesser evil picture This is a place in Mexico and Bolivia where they sell all kinds of things that pertains to witchcraft. It pertains to witchcraft, and the amazing thing about witchcraft is that its Greek word is where the word pharmacy also came from. And that's why they would, while we were worshiping, I had this thought a while ago. You know, the Bible is always full of God's provision of healing for his people. What Satan would do is that whenever there's something genuine, he would always present a counterfeit. And this is a counterfeit right here. And this place, don't think that we don't have it. In the Philippines, we have all of those, we have all kinds of superstitions and witchcraft that's going on. And people would just trade day after day. We have a lot of these activities even in the Philippines. Here's what I want us to understand now. I want us to envision and have a picture of the seven sons of Sceva. Here's what they were doing. What they did was that they were watching Paul from a distance. They were watching Paul from a distance. Together with some friends maybe, they would look at Paul. Bro, grabe yung lalaki yun. Pangalan niya raw, Paul. Paul daw yung pangalan niya. Itong Paul na to, kahit sa magpunta itong Paul na to, meron siyang nilalagay niya yung kamay niya sa mga ulo tapos nahihil yung mga tao. So take note, ha? Nag-take note sila. Binabantay nila si Paul from a distance. Take note. Sabi niya, lagyan mo ng hands head. So they were looking at everything that Paul was doing. Ano sabi niya? Jesus, ano spelling? Basta Jesus, lagyan mo Jesus. Ayun yung mga incantation niya. Ginagaya nila lahat ng ginagawa ni Paul. Sinusulat, pinag-aralan ni si Paul. And guess what? 2 years po si Paul sa lugar na yon. So ibig sabihin, master na master nila yung ginagawa ni Paul. Guess what? Paul would go from one place to another, and guess what? He was becoming popular. And because he was getting popular, this business people who had evil motives wants to get in the Jesus market. They want to earn money out of a name of a person called Jesus. And that is what they were doing. They were just studying this person, and they would look at how Paul would do that. And finally, nakuha na nila. Siguro nakuha na. Ito na yung perfect ingredient. Lumapit sa tao. Okay, tignan sa mata. Look squarely in the eye. Do not close your eyes. Lay hands on them. Ito yung sabi niya. I command you. By the name of Jesus. Get out from this place. Get out from this person. O, practice tayo. Siguro nagpa-practice sila sa salamin. Ganun siguro ginawa nila. Kasi business to, dapat perfect. So, nung ready na sila, okay, ito na. Ready na. Okay, ano pangalan ulit? Jesus. Ikaw pangalan, Jesus. Okay, let's go there. So, the moment they went out, they started practicing what Paul was doing. Don't you think that's crazy? Siguro may hinila sila isa, ikaw, halika dito. Lalaki ka, demon possessed ka. Pero sabi sa kanila lalaki, pambihira kayo, ganito lang itsura ko, demon possessed na. Ay, sorry sir. Finally, may nakita silang demon possessed. They saw a demon possessed. Ako sure ako demon possessed na to. So they approach a demon possessed person. Look at that person squarely in the eye. I think I have a picture right here. Look at the person squarely in the eye. And here's what they said, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. With all authority yun, ha? Kasi with all authority naman si Paul. So parehong-pareho yung style niya. Siguro yung forma ni Paul, parehong-pareho. Parang FPJ. Memorize nila lahat. I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Buti na siguro hindi sabi ng demon. Sige nga, spell adjure nga. You know, it's a funny thing that happened to them. Here's what happened. Verse 15, it says here, but the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know. And Paul, I recognize. But who are you? Demon yan, ha? Sinigawa siya, adjure. Bye. Teka lang ba, ha? Kaila kong Jesus. Kaila kong Paul. Nga, kinsa mo? I mean, this is crazy. Sila patuloy mukhang demon possessed. And the word know here, okay, the word know here means extensive knowledge. What may you can honestly say that everyone in the demonic realm has an extensive knowledge of who God is. They have an extensive knowledge of who God is. Because they have been going against God from the very beginning of time. Alam nila na wala sing laban-laban kay Lord. That's why I'm telling you, the moment you invoke the name of Jesus, they will flee. They would flee from you. Because they know at which authority you are coming as a Christian. They have a very deep and extensive knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They know na wala silang laban kay Lord. Now here's another thing. It says here, Jesus I know and Paul I recognize. The word recognize here simply means they are acquainted. Yep, we've heard of Paul. We know Jesus, we've heard of Paul, yeah? During our staff meeting, we always talk about this Paul. This Paul is such a headache. So SWOT analysis, laging nasa weakness namin yan. Do you realize that in the kingdom of darkness, you could either be any of the two things? You could either be anonymous or you could be notorious. My point here is this one. Has your name gained notoriety among those who plan evil in our lives? To say it in a more forward manner, are you famous in hell? What is my point? What is my point? Whenever your name gets dropped, are you a threat in the kingdom of darkness? Or are you a, whenever they would gather, Archie, babayan mo yan, magpo-fall lang yan. Or is it like men, whenever they hear the word Patrick, oh my goodness, there's that Patrick again. Is your name causing commotion even in the demonic realm? What is my point? If you do the things that God wants you to do, just like what we were singing a while ago, if Jesus is Lord over your life, I tell you what, your name will be notorious. At the very mention even of your name, people would think, man, ito yung solid na disciple ni Jesus. Hindi natin kaya yan. Paul was recognized by the devil himself. They know that this guy is radical. They know for a fact that Paul was a what? Paul was one of them. He was a what? He was a persecutor of Christians. But one day, he had an encounter with God. And guess what? After having an encounter with God, who of you had an encounter with God? Lahat tayo. Nagkaroon tayo encounter kay God. The difference with Paul is this one. He didn't stop being satisfied in being saved. I'm not satisfied in being saved. I have a mission while I am here. That's what made him a threat to the devil. And I hope our passion and zeal would do the same. I hope we will not be one of those people na parang, chapwera mo lang yan. Petiks-petiks na Christian lang yan. I hope we will be a people of conviction, a people who displays the healthy fear of God. A generation would always stand up for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how they understood Paul. The problem was that, you know, for these people, let me just read this for a while. Demons were often scared enough to stay away from those filled with the Holy Spirit. If you remember, what did we talk about, you know, 2 weeks ago? We said that the Holy Spirit is God, and the thing is that the Holy Spirit in you is what? Is God in you. So something happens. The moment you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, something happens. It means to say that the Holy Spirit indwells in you. There's two things that happens to you as a Christian. The Holy Spirit indwells in you. The other one is what? The Holy Spirit infills you. Indwelling in your life is a one-time event. Infilling in your life is a multiple event. See, if you are a Christian who's always filled with the Holy Spirit, I tell you what. You're going to do what Jesus said. You're going to do greater things than what he did. That's why he would always remind us to what? To fan into flame the gift of God. To keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. The problem with the sons of Sceva is this one. They had the form, but they didn't have the power. Minemorize nila lahat. Lay of hands. Dapat malinis yung kuko. Dapat ganito. Incantations, Jesus, command. Memorize nila, itsura pala, wow na. Sa church, who may kinalas is saying, sa church, lahat tayo mababait sa church. Mabait kaya tayo lahat dito. Pero paglabas ng church, ano yung form natin? Form lang ba yung panglaban natin? Paano yung power? How do we deal with our daily grind of our life? They have the form, but they don't have the power. That was the problem with the seven sons of Sceva. At the end of the day, friends, your form will not amount to anything. You will need to have the power of God in your life. They have mastered the art of incantation, but they were devoid of power. That's why the Bible is very clear that we cannot be a group of people who has the form of godliness but denying its power. In verse 16, here's what happened. And the man in whom the evil spirit lived on them, mastered all of them and outpowered them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Can you imagine that? Seven yan, ha? Seven yan, bug-bug sarado sa devil. Pa-pull-pull kayo, ha? Pa-Jesus-Jesus kayo, ha? Sige. Binugbog sila ng devil. Their clothes were torn off. They ran around naked and wounded. Guess what? These are famous people. Why? Because they were sons of Sceva. Sons of a Jewish high priest. Now listen. I am not in any way telling all of us. Baka kasi iniisip natin, man, if that's the case, I don't want to go out there and invoke the name of Jesus Christ. Baka mamaya, sabihan pa ako, sino ka? Si Jesus kilala ko, si Peter kilala ko, si Paul. Sino ka? O, sige. Allow me to qualify that in a while. Allow me to tell you why that will not happen to you as a Christian. You know, the Philippine ambassador to the nation of Australia, her name is Her Excellency Belen Anota. She has been, ambassador of the Philippines to Australia, I think for 4 years now. And as an ambassador, what is her job? As an ambassador, she represents the Philippines in Australia. She is the official mouth of the Philippine president. Are you folks catching this? In any affair that would involve the Philippines, she would represent the entire country. Why? Because she has a delegated authority. Now, if the Prime Minister of Australia would invite the Philippine president, she can come on behalf of the president. Everyone's catching this. So they would have dinner, talk about diplomatic ties, talk about the ties, the friendship of Philippines and Australia. Now, what if, right now, merong 50% off ng Cebu Pacific. What if bumili ako ng ticket papuntang Australia? Pumunta ako ng ticket papuntang Australia, tapos dalala ko ticket ko, dumating ako sa Australia, pumunta ako sa Prime Minister. Sabi ko sa Prime Minister, hi, my name is Archie Lim, I represent the Philippines. You know what will happen? People will laugh at me. Worse, people might kill me. You know why? Because I am not an official representative. The ambassador is. That was the problem of the sons of Sceva. They were not an official delegation. You know why? Because they don't have a relationship with God. They thought if I just mention the name of Jesus, Jesus' name is like a magic. It is not magic. You need to have faith in the blood of the Lamb. You need to be someone who has a relationship with Him. In short, you have to be birthed again in the Spirit. And that way, you are an official delegation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, you have the authority. That's why the Bible says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. We have been given as Christians the authority here on earth. And we are backed up by the power of God. The sons of Sceva want the form, but they don't have the power. They just simply cannot do it. That's why the devil looked at them and told them, man, you guys are a big joke. You guys are a big joke. Let me teach you a lesson. Beat them up, made them run. And guess what? After which, here's what happened in verse 17. Allow me to just end with this one. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. Look at this one. The Bible says, fear fell upon them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was extolled. Can you go back to that verse? Here's the first thing that happened. Imagine the seven sons of Sceva running around naked. They were beaten up, bloodied in their face. Binugbog kami. Sceva, binugbog kami. And people were looking at them. Man, look at the exorcist. Hey guys, who did this to you? Yung devil. Kasi sabi niya, trinay namin gawin yung ginagawa ni Paul. We try to invoke on the name of that guy right there. What's his name? Paul. Yung sinasabi niya, Jesus, we try to invoke that name over this demon. And he leaped on us. And people were like, whoa. While they were doing that, maybe they were thinking, man, maybe they were thinking about the preaching of Paul to them. Tama, sinabi niya pa nga pala yung Jesus na yun. Here's what happened. The Bible says fear fell upon them all. You know what? This is not the same fear that we feel, that people feel when they are faced by the devil. This is a reverential kind of fear. It's like, but by their words, they wanna kneel before their very place and just worship God for who he is. My goodness. This God is real. This Jesus is real. I revere this man right here. So there was a fear of the Lord. This is what happened. The next one, in verse 18, here's what happened. Also, many of those who are now believers, Christians, came confessing and divulging their practices. Look at this one. Next verse. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. What this verse is saying is this one. There was a solid group of Christians living in Ephesus. But the problem was that they don't have conviction. And what they were doing was that they were doing what other people were doing. Ooh. People were doing black arts, worshiping demons. They were like, I'm a Christian, but I still do this. I'm a Christian, but I still practice this. That's what happened. When they heard about the account of that man, the Bible says they went there. You know what that means? Aside from fear, there was repentance. They went back to God and repented. And the Bible says they brought their books. Imagine itong mga Christian na to. Meron pang, siguro ganyan kakapal yung mga horoscope nila pang araw-araw. Yung mga diary ng mga hula nila. And burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. You know how much that is? That's 25 million pesos. 25 million peso worth of investment on demonic activities. And they realized, man, what have we been doing? They realized, man, 25 million, let's burn it. At the end of the day, Jesus is worth it. Step aside, went back to God. Last verse, it says here, so the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Amen. Fear of the God, fear of the Lord. Repentance. After which the gospel all the more proliferated. Allow me to end this by giving us an illustration for a while. Okay, who among you, you have lights at home, just like this one? Meron ba kayong mga ilaw sa bahay? Lahat po siguro tayo, ano? When you will build a home, you would put provisions for lights like this one. Put your chandeliers. Now look at this one. No matter how nice your chandeliers are, if you do not go to Noreco and have an account with them, no matter how beautiful your home is, if you don't have an account with them, at the end of the day, your house is still dark. What is my point? At the end of the day, it is the electric company who gives you the power. They're the ones who's going to provide you electricity. They provide you with power. So what you need to do now is that you need to go to them. Here's my home. Here's my ID. You need to have a contract with them. All right, so now here's my account. And now here's the thing. This electric company, once you have an account with them, it is not part of the contract that they will go with you in your home. And whenever you need your life turned on, they will switch it for you. Noreco, nasa bahay na po ako. Paki-open na yung light namin. Sir, ito na po yan. Okay na, sir. Balik na ako, sir. Hindi po part ng contract yun. Ang part lang ng contract, magpo-provide sila at the end of the day sa bahay, ikaw po ang mag-flip on ng switch. What is my point? God will give us the power. It is at our disposal and in our authority to flip on the switch. That is our responsibility. The problem with the sons of Sceva was that they keep flipping on the switch, but they're not connected. They don't have an account with the electric company. They don't have a relationship with God. Wala po silang ganun. And the difference between the sons of Sceva and us, guess what, friends? If you are here and you are a Christian, you have an account with God. Meaning to say, God has given you the authority and you are backed up by His very power. Amen. Allow me to end this series by leaving you with one single verse. And my prayer is that this verse will take a good grasp in your heart and you will understand what it is, what it means to be a Christian. The Bible is very clear. Next time you go out there and encounter all of these crazy things, the Bible is very clear. Greater is He that is in me than he who is in the world. Next time you encounter opposition, greater is He that is in me than he who is in the world. It gives you the right perspective over so many things in your life. It makes you understand that you are basically driven by the very power of God. Amen.